You know, that is good news this morning, church. That is good news that everywhere we go, everywhere, our Heavenly Father goes with us. You can take Him everywhere. No matter what's going on in your life today, no matter what's happening, our Heavenly Father goes with us. Amen? That is reason to celebrate. Well, hey, go ahead and have a seat. And if you have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to open it up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we'll be. We're in about the 11th week of our series called The Red Letter Life. It's this series where we're going through the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. They're found in red in most of our Bibles. That's why we're calling it Red Letter Life. And we've been looking and taking seriously Jesus' call to be kingdom citizens. That's what this sermon is all about. What does it mean to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven? And we're going to begin to wrap that up this week and next week as Jesus begins to wrap up this great sermon. Like any good sermon, Jesus starts to move from giving information to he's starting to give us some application. He's saying, hey, these are the things that you need to do. And he's giving us what we call in sermon school, where we're learning to preach, we call it a call to action. A call to action. Today's words call for action. Listening to his words in this great sermon has been inspiring. It's been motivating. Sometimes it's been challenging. But today he calls us for movement. He calls us to make a choice. And the choice is yours. That's what this message is all about. So as we're thinking about making a choice, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask him to be with us and guide us as we make this choice today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your love. And Father, we realize that, Lord, your words are powerful. And your words in the Sermon on the Mount, Father, are sometimes so piercing. And Father, they're difficult for us to hear. But Father, we realize that they're filled with love and grace, but they're also filled with truth. And Father, we pray that today your Holy Spirit would guide us, that, Father, we would understand what your word says, and that, Father, we would be prepared, and that, Father, we would be willing to act, that, Father, we would move on your word, that we would make decisions based on the truth in your word. And, Father, I pray this morning for the person who is here who needs to make a choice for you, Father. And so we pray for that, Lord, and pray your Holy Spirit speaks to us clearly and loudly today and that we would have ears to hear. So, Father, be with us now, and we pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, awesome. It's great to spend this day with you. Jesus jumps right in as he's starting to come to this place where he's moving and pivoting towards the wrap-up of this sermon, starting in verse 13 of chapter 7. Jesus has been spelling out what it means to be a kingdom citizen. Now today, we talk real briefly about, okay, you know, you're supposed to be a kingdom citizen. Now he's saying, here's how you start. Here's how you enter in. Here's how you begin. This is what the path to kingdom citizenship looks like. And so he starts in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, where he says this, enter. So he says, come on in, enter in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And he says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. When Jesus starts out here and he says enter, he uses this word enter. It's in the imperative. It's both an invitation where he's saying, hey, come on in. Come on into the kingdom, which he's been preaching about. Come on into the kingdom. But it's also a command. He's not just saying, you know, if you feel like it, come on over. He's kind of saying, you need to come in. He says, you need to enter into the kingdom. You know, a lot of us think, oh, I'm in the kingdom. You know, in fact, a lot of us, I know people who think they're Christians because they're Americans. They're like, because it says, in God we trust on our money, they think, oh yeah, I'm in. I kind of know God, you know. But Jesus is saying, no. You have to enter in to the kingdom. And all of us at one point in our life are called to enter in to the kingdom. And he tells us that in this life there are two gates, there are two roads, and there's two destinations. And you need to catch this part, only two. Okay, only two. So there's only two gates, there's only two roads, there's two destinations. There is a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. There's a broad road and there's a narrow road. And the wide gate opens us up to the broad road, and that leads to where? Destruction. Good job. Yeah, it leads to destruction. We might call that hell. We might call that eternity without God. It's death eternally. And so that's one destination. Okay. The other one is he says, hey, there is a small gate. It leads to a narrow road. And that one leads to where? Yeah, life. He says life. And so we might call that heaven. We might call that eternity with Christ. And so there's only two real options here. So while these instructions, I mean, that really comes off, and it sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds very cut and dry, very simple to understand. So all these instructions are pretty straightforward. We often struggle. We struggle with this as people, and let me tell you the reason why I think we struggle with this today, especially as Americans living here where we live and having what we have. I think the reason is this: we like options. We like options, and we like to keep our options open. We're used to having options in every arena of life. For example, when it just comes to how we get from place to place, or we travel or traverse, however you want to look at it, the freeway system here in LA. How many of you have at least one app or map program on your phone? Yeah, see, look around, man. Everybody's got them, man. My favorite is Waze. Waze does pretty good for me, it tells me. And what Waze does, what I love it, if you don't have it, check it out, W-A-Z-E. What I love about Waze is Waze will change as it goes, and if the traffic's really bad, it'll send me somewhere else. And so far, at least for me, it seems like it's worked pretty accurately. But when I want to go somewhere, when I'm trying to get from point A to point B, I like to have lots of options. And so, like, let's take, for example, if I'm going from here to, let's say, Disneyland. Everybody likes some Disneyland, right? So I'm like, okay, if I'm going from here to Disneyland, I can jump on the 101 freeway, take the 101 to the 5, and get off at the Disneyland Resort exit. Boom, I'm there, right? Works pretty smooth. However, if there's traffic, and we're talking about the 5 freeway here, okay? So there's always traffic. Okay, there's traffic, then I can jump on there and I can make a different decision, okay? I have different options. I could take the 101 to the 23 to the 118 to the 210 to the 605 to the 91 to the 5 and then get off at the Disneyland exit and then I'm right there. Okay, works pretty simple, right? But then again, I still have to go at one point on the 210 and the 91, and those are usually got traffic, so I have other options, like I can take the 101 to the 405 to the 105 to the 110 to the 10 to the 57, get off at Catella, take it to Harbor, and drive right into the parking lot, right? Lots of options, and we like options. We like to keep our options open. That's kind of how we do life these days. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, when it comes to Jesus' words here about the kingdom of heaven, there's really only one path, okay? There's one way that leads to life. And in fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, he tells us this. He says, Jesus answered, he says, I am the way and the truth and the... So he's the way that leads to life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there's only one way to interpret this passage of Scripture. Jesus says here that there is no other way into a relationship with God except through him. That sure narrows the options, doesn't it? Jesus is the only way. And we live in a world, though, that likes to have a lot more options than that. In fact, the general feeling of a majority of the people, okay, in the world today is that there are more options. That, you know, you even will hear about this, that all roads eventually lead to the same place. And that's a wide road mentality. But for some reason, people, even nice Christian people, we struggle with the concept when Jesus says he's the only way, or there's really, you know, that our choices are limited. We don't really like that, okay? And I'm going to do this little example here now to kind of explain, I think, why at times we get a little bit confused by this. Now, I don't know, some of you have maybe seen this before. How many of you have ever seen this little game here? Anybody ever seen it? Yeah, see, you kind of already know where it's going. I got the basic ping pong ball. Now I'm gonna just tell you up front, okay? I'm not a magician, okay? I'm a pastor. This could go terribly, terribly wrong. okay? And that's okay. That's okay. I really don't know what I'm doing here. It's just kind of, you know, I did go see the Now You See Me movie, and you know, my wife says that's what inspired my sermon this week. But the reality is it's just kind of for fun. But I think it gives us a little bit of an example of why we struggle with this. Okay, it's like if I put the ball here, you know, and you know what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to watch and go like, where's the ball? Okay, and so that was pretty easy so far, right? You know, and then if it gets a little complicated when I start moving things around, and see, even now, see, it's funny because I've even watched some of you who are kind of kicking back. Now you're kind of leaning forward a little bit, going, I gotta pay attention now. You know, I'm like, I gotta do magic more often in church. So this isn't really magic. This is just kind of a fun game. So you know, it's just one of those things, and you know that your job is to try to figure out, you know, like where in the world the thing went. Now, if I really stop and I think about it, or let me just ask you a question here. You know, because all of you now are going like, okay, I think I know where the ball is and everything like this. But if we stop and if I ask you this question, how many choices do you have? How many choices do you have? Yeah, okay. See, from your perspective, you have three choices. From my perspective, you have two, the right one and the wrong one. Okay? Makes sense, right? See, and here's the deal. We like options. We love to have different options in our lives. And when we start to try to take, when someone tries to start taking away our options, even when I kind of said that, your brain kind of started going, whoa, 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 wait, Pastor Ken, there's three cups up there. I got three choices. I'm saying no, because you have a right choice and a wrong choice. In fact, you have a better chance at making the wrong choice. Okay, even though you're like, oh, but I was watching you. It's okay. You have a right choice and a wrong choice to make. You see, and in our world today, this whole idea is really quite interesting because this narrow road options limiting reality doesn't sit well with today's postmodern mindset. Okay, in postmodernity, one of the chief signs of that is this idea of moral relativism that says, you know, you've got some truth, the people over here, you guys got some truth, you got some truth, I got some truth, and we're all doing really good as long as we can all just tolerate each other's truth. Okay, if we can tolerate each other's truth and realize that, you know, our situations and circumstances are different, so we should have a different kind of truth. And as long as we can do it that way, then we get along famously. But if I start limiting your options, if I start telling you, no, you don't have three choices, you only have two, you start to go, oh, wait a minute, don't take my options away, all right? The reality of this is that 75% of Americans believe that truth is relative to each person's situation. And what's really alarming to me is that Barna Research, this group, the Christian research group, has polled tons and tons of people, and they found that only 32% of people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, okay, 32% of people who say, I'm a born-again Christian, believe in such a thing as absolute truth. Folks, not believing in truth is a wide road kind of thinking that leads away from kingdom living and heads us towards destruction. Evidently, Jesus understood what our culture would be like when he said, there will be more people traveling down the wide road than there will be on the narrow road. And Jesus here in his sermon calls us to make a decision. Are you going to choose the wide road? Okay, or are you going to choose the narrow? Destruction? Okay, hell? Or life, heaven. What are you going to choose? And the decision, and this is really important, this is in your notes and you should write this down. Your decision determines your destination. That's a life principle that we ought to all be make sure we're teaching our kids. Our decision determines our destination. So you, what you decide, which path you take, is going to determine where you end up. And so make sure that you make the right decision. Now, if you want life, choose the narrow way. Choose Jesus. Now, what makes navigating this whole highway thing, this whole narrow way versus wide way thing tricky, is that we have way too many people trying to give us different directions. okay? I mean, it's Father's Day. I don't know about in your homes, but in my house, being the dad, I do a lot, especially when we're on family trips, I do most of the driving. I don't know if it's a way in your house, but and that was all really well and good while the kids were little, okay? But now they all have their driver's licenses, okay? So now they're all experts at driving. So when we drive somewhere, I get lots and lots of help. And lots of advice on how I should drive, okay, and on where I should be going and how I should get there and things like that, all right? We have lots of people trying to tell us which way to go. Now, some people are incredibly well-meaning, okay, when they're trying to help us know where to go and how to get there, but the Bible tells us that there are other people who are actually trying to trick us, to trip us up, to get us to not take the narrow path, but to take the wide road that leads to destruction. Okay, and so he explains this, and he kind of uses this metaphor of two trees and two fruits along the way. And he starts here in verse 15, where he says, watch out. Now, that's what Brenda says a lot while I'm driving. Watch out, okay? He said, watch out for false prophets, okay, people who are trying to trick you up and make you take the wide road and crash and burn. He says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves, okay? So he's saying, hey, look deeper than just what's on the surface. You know, I was looking at the some stuff online, and for some reason, last week I got this thing that it was People Magazine, and they were talking about how every year they have the issue, it's the 50 most beautiful people in the world issue. And it's the issue they sell the most copies of every year, because I guess everybody, all of us want to know who it is that's the most beautiful out there. And so like last year, you know, the most beautiful woman was Sandra Bullock and stuff. And so I looked at the list for this year, and I'm looking at those people. And then so I started to think about just the people that were on those lists. I'm thinking, gee, haven't I heard about them somewhere, you know, maybe it's when I'm standing in line at the grocery store, I don't know, but I started to think, like, what's going on with some of these people, you know, these people that we look at and evidently are voted the most beautiful, which I don't know exactly who votes for them, but, and I'm starting to look at these and I'm thinking about them, and so I know Pastor Devin, you know, a couple weeks ago talked to us about, you know, making sure we're not judging, and I'm not judging them, but here's the reality, as I was looking at their lives, okay, these 50 most beautiful people in the world, I started to go, okay, I'm gonna check into them a little bit. I did a little bit of research, and I found that out of all of them, out of the top 10 for sure, because that's as far as I went, out of the top 10, all of them have had multiple failed relationships. So in terms of the road for relationships, they don't make very good choices, okay? All of them have had either some sense of like rehab, drug addiction, kind of these kinds of issues. And I'm thinking, they don't tend to make really great choices, you know? I mean, there were several of them that, had been arrested for, I mean, everything from shoplifting to battery to all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, these are the 50 most beautiful people in the world. But the reality is, beauty, obviously, is only skin deep. There's some things in their life that are difficult. And that's where Jesus says, hey, look down. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, it's not so good. He goes on, he says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. He goes on, he says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I wonder what that metaphor is all about there. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Two times in that passage, he says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So Jesus is saying, hey, as you're on the road, take care to look at the fruit of the people who are giving you direction. See, I've heard this verse used over and over again to tell Christian people, you got to bear good fruit. Come on, get busy, people. You got to go out and bear some good fruit. And I'm thinking, there are passages of Scripture that tell us as Christians that we should bear good fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and all that good stuff. This isn't that verse. This particular verse, in the context that it is in, is telling us to be very, very keenly aware of the advice and the directions that different people are giving us in life that are telling us they know the way. And if if they don't bear good fruit, then don't listen to their advice. Then don't take their direction. That we need to be very, very careful by that, you know, and make sure that we're making good choices. So the reality for this whole thing is that there are lots of people screaming out directions to us. And there's an evil one who will stop at nothing to make sure that we don't choose the narrow way. You see, Satan knows. This is one thing I know. Satan knows that we are not going to pick hell on purpose. Okay? I mean, Satan knows. I mean, when it comes down to choices, no matter how many you have or anything like that, it just doesn't, you know, Satan knows that it's not like, okay, you know, like you're just going to pick the worst choice of all. Like he knows that you aren't out to go, oh yeah, hell yeah, sign me up for some of that. Okay? He knows that about you. But here's the reality. He doesn't have to just get you to pick hell. He just has to make sure you don't pick completely surrendering to Jesus. And he tries to deceive you by getting you to think that there's a whole lot more options out there for you. He tries to get us to believe that we can kind of take a wide road approach and that we can do kind of whatever we want, just kind of whatever everyone else in the world is doing, and then sprinkle a little bit of Jesus on top and go, oh yeah, I got a little Jesus on top, so, you know, I must be okay. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to deceive us. He's one of these wolves in sheep's clothing who's trying to say, hey, don't get so serious about all that, like, narrow roads, you know, the straight path kind of stuff. You know, you compromise. Compromise them a little bit. You know, there's more choices than just that one or two. You know, there's more. There's options for you. You can live your life, you know. I mean, after all, you know, God's given you all this, so you should just take advantage of it. And he tries to deceive us into thinking that there are more options than there really are. And the devil is okay. The devil's okay with you not picking him as long as you don't pick the narrow road of surrender to Jesus. So Jesus then, he encourages us to read the signposts, to take a look at who, you know, who's advising us, what path we're on, and he tells us to make sure. Now, he tells us right out of the chute, he says, there's some people, man, when you're looking on the outside, it's going to be very obvious. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Okay? I was like, whoa, what's and the like? That means the list goes on. Okay? And he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay? They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So if that's going on in their lives, then don't follow them. Don't go in that direction. But I think sometimes we look at that list and we're kind of like, whoa, that's, I mean, witchcraft. That's, I mean, drunkenness and debauchery, whatever debauchery means, right? I mean, it basically just means dishonesty is one of the best ways to translate that. But the reality is that we look at that and we go, whoa, I'm not so bad. And see, Satan loves to get us to do the comparison thing. Well, I'm not as bad as that other person flying by me on the road, so I must not be okay. You know, yeah, they look like they're on the wide path, but I'm not as bad as they are, so I must be all right. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about comparing yourself. It's about what road are you on? Are you on the wide road that just does whatever we think we ought to do with your foot on the gas just going, woo, I'm getting all I can out of life? Or are you on the narrow road that says, I'm taking my direction from Jesus. I'm taking my direction from the one who rose from the dead. You see, and sometimes because we get confused, sometimes because we're like, well, I'm living in this world and I kind of like the world and I'd like to have a little bit of Jesus there because I know that Jesus is good and I hope he lets me into heaven someday and stuff like that, that sometimes we stall out in our decision making. Sometimes we're like, well, you know, I mean, that's all well and good, and I know one day, because he says, you know, later on that day, you know, that there's going to be a time when we're going to have to pay attention to what road we're on. There is going to be a destination. That we kind of think, well, I got plenty of time, and for now, I think I'm okay, and so I'm just not going to make a decision now. Maybe I'll make a decision later, but I'm not. Well, here's the reality. To not decide, okay, to not decide is to decide. And to not decide is to decide to be on the wide road. You see, a lot of us like, and we know the passage of scripture from John 3:16, okay, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And we like that one. We quote it all the time. But what about the next two verses? The next two verses says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now catch verse 18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." Okay, that's, you're on the narrow road. You're believing in him. And he says, "But whoever does not believe," okay, "whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." In other words, if you don't put your trust in Jesus, it says you're already condemned. You're on the wide road and you're already going in the wrong direction. In fact, what it takes is a conscious decision to say yes to Jesus. That's what this really boils down to, is it takes a conscious decision for us to say yes to Jesus. Any other choice than Jesus and you're on the wide road and you're heading in the wrong direction, the direction of destruction and a Christless eternity. And simply knowing which road to take doesn't cut it. Knowing Jesus is the only way, just knowing that doesn't cut it. You have to make a choice, the choice to follow him. And he makes this distinction clear in the next couple verses, verse 21 and 23, where he says this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name," keep going, "in your name," okay, I'll get back to this over here, "and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." So here's the thing, is there's a lot of people who might say, "Lord, Lord." You can be a fan of Jesus all day long. You can know who he is. You can know his position. These people, they knew Jesus' position as Lord. See, you saying that he's Lord is not what makes him Lord. He's Lord because he's God Almighty. He's Lord because that is his position in all of the universe. He is Lord. You have to make him Lord of your life and have a relationship with him. You can be a fan of his all day long, and it doesn't mean that he's really Lord. You can call him what he is, but unless you've opened up your heart to him. See, a lot of people keep him Lord out there. You know, he's the big man upstairs. He's the, you know, the power that's out there. He's, you know, Lord of heaven. But here's the question, is he Lord in here? You see, he's calling us to a deep relationship with him. See, relationship is what really matters because, you know, I can know a lot about somebody and it doesn't mean that we have a relationship. See, in fact, you know, today, let's take today for example. How many of you guys are going to watch the NBA Finals game? Got a few of you in here? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really cool. And you've got these two teams, and there's a couple players that are going to be, you know, hopefully top of their game today. You've got Seth Curry, okay? And I've been watching him, you know, last couple years, and I'm like, man, this guy's just amazing. I know some things about him, okay? I mean, it's kind of cool because he's led us into his life a little bit. We know his family, his kids, and I know some of his stats. I know that he was voted for the first time ever the unanimous MVP of the season, stuff like that, right? So I know some things about him. I also know some things about LeBron, okay, James, and, you know, he's got, I mean, his stats are amazing, just powerful. I know some really cool stuff about the guy, you know, and I know that there's some people that think he should have been the MVP, and he's playing amazing right now and everything like that. Now, here's what I know is I know some stuff about those guys. I know their positions. I know things about them. But here's the deal. There's no ticket with Ken's name on it for a center seat, okay, for the game. You know why? I don't have a relationship with those guys, okay? I don't get to just, I mean, I don't know. I can't just call those guys up and, hey, how's it going or whatever. Why? I don't have a relationship, okay? I know about them. I think they're pretty cool. I think I'll have fun watching, but I don't know them. You know, and so I think that here's the cool part, is that Jesus is saying, look, it takes more than just knowing knowing some information. It takes personally having a relationship with Jesus that it's really all about. And here's the thing, you know, Satan is even okay with you calling Jesus Lord, Lord. You know, when I look at that list of stuff, because these people came in there like, you know, they're talking to Jesus and they're saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And it's like casting out demons and performing miracles and all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm like, those guys did some pretty amazing stuff. Anybody here cast out some demons this week? No? Anybody work some miracles? Any miracle workers this week? I know a few of you moms, I think, in here, you know, helping out with your kids. I think you probably come as close as we can get this week. But the reality is, so I'm looking at these guys and I'm going, like, man, compared to those guys, and they're not getting in, because Jesus looks at them and is like, I never knew you. And I'm going, man, if that's the case for those guys, is there any hope for me? Well, here's the reality. Jesus looks at them and he says, it's not about the stuff that you did, because we don't know what their motivation was for what they did. Maybe it was just religious activity. Maybe it was to draw attention to themselves. I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. Jesus is the judge. And what he tells them is this. You might understand my authority. You might understand my position. You might know who I am. But here's the reality. You never opened your heart up in a way that let me know you completely. And we don't have a relationship. And that's the most important part. I think that's what these verses cut down to, is if you're going to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, if you're really going to put your life and align it with the kingdom purposes and principles, it starts with you enter in, okay? Not by just knowing the information, not by thinking that you know the right answer, but it actually is by making Jesus Lord of your life. By saying, I will surrender completely to him. He is the one in charge. He is the one that will call the shots in my life. And some of you know who Jesus is. But maybe you've been casual acquaintances at best. Maybe it's time for you to stop saying, I kind of like the idea of Jesus, to actually saying, I'm going to commit my life to following him. We get a little scared of that because we realize that sometimes Jesus might say, well, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to change which path you're on. And we look at that and go, wow, change doesn't come easy for some of us. But here's the good news. The good news is when you're on that path, Jesus is with you, and everything that happens, he doesn't guarantee that it's going to be a smooth, easy ride, but he guarantees he'll be with you, and he guarantees that that destination will be eternity, life, and heaven forever with him. So the reality is it's time to choose. Jesus has given us all this information over these last many chapters about what it means to be a citizen in his kingdom. Will you enter in? Will you choose to make Jesus Lord? Some of you have been kind of dabbling with it. You're like, yeah, I know that Jesus, I should pay attention to Jesus. Some of you, for a lot of your life, have been saying, I like Jesus, but is he Lord of your life? Some of you have heard things like, you know, you need to surrender to him. You know, some of you have heard, hey, you know, you should make the commitment and be baptized. And some people are like, whoa, that's a heavy duty commitment. I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's the good news. This morning, the water's warm. We already had a couple baptisms this morning. Okay? And it was awesome. But if that's you today, if the Holy Spirit's kind of tugging you and you're kind of like, you might even be the person that's out there sitting there today going, ugh, I don't like the fact that you're taking away some options or you're making this too, like, you know, narrow. The reality is maybe we just need to have a little more discussion about what it means to make Jesus Lord of your life. And so if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart, if you know that you need to make a decision to follow Jesus on the narrow road, to be baptized, to make him Lord, then I pray that today is the day that you'll make that decision. That you'll say yes to Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I'm all in. Yes, Jesus, I'm with you. Yes, Jesus, I'm taking the narrow road. And I guarantee you, it will be the best decision that you've ever made. Jesus wants to come and live with you and in you and empower you to really do life. So in just a minute, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing and have a time of communion. And if during any of that time, I'm going to ask any of our elders who are here to come up here to the front. And if the elders who are here will come up to the front, we would love to talk to you about what that decision looks like, about how to help you make that decision to go on the narrow road. And some of you have been wrestling with it. Some of you maybe just this week kind of found yourself taking the off-ramp off the narrow road, and you found yourself on the wide road, and you need to get back. You need to kind of get on the clover leaf and get back on the narrow road. If that's you, take the time during communion and just say, Lord, I confess, man, I got on the wide road this week, and Lord, I need you to bring me back. I need some direction from you. And if that's you, then take advantage of this time. But if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, then I encourage you, come up and chat with me. Come up and talk with one of our elders. You know, grab me later. We want to talk to you because we want to help you get on that narrow path. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so good. And Father, we love you so much. And God, we thank you that you have our best interest in mind, that God, you want to save us from the damages and the destruction that the world has to offer us. Father, we realize that sometimes it looks good and we chase after it, Father, but we know that ultimately it doesn't lead to life. God, we want the kind of life that you have for us. We want to take full advantage of what it means to be a citizen in your kingdom. But God, I know that, Father, there's someone here this morning that needs to enter in by choosing to follow Jesus, God. I pray that that person, that whoever they are, Father, or however many there may be, that God, we will decide to be followers of you, people of the narrow way, and that God, you will lead us, and that we'll be your people, you'll be our God, and that, Father, we will trust you with all of our heart. Father, we love you and praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.